and welcome to another Folkin.com downloadable interview with... I've done some interviews with this since in the last 20 years, yeah, mate. Yeah. But when you've got like 15 million people around a table, it is absolutely Mary Hell. Yay! But talking of which, we are with Mary Hell at the Brasenose, Cropperty Fringe. And I'm going to go around and say hello to everybody. I'm going to start with, on my right, we've got...
Bob Kettle, mandolin and bouzouki.
Uh-huh. He doesn't look like a mandolin and bouzouki, but we've got...
I'm Andrew Kettle and I sing.
It's a singist.
I'm Virginia Kettle and I sing too.
Another singist.
I'm Nick Kettle and I play the bass guitar.
Uh-huh. I'm John Kettle, I'm in charge of wires and general health and safety.
Ah, now you're the main man, so we won't get killed all the time you're here, which is always good.
Neil McCartney on the fiddle.
On the fiddle. And finally...
Lee Kettle on keyboards.
And right next to me, my old mate and co-founder,
Darren Beach,
Folkin.com. Superhero. Now, I'm so pleased because we're actually here with our very own multi-award winners, because Mary Hell are the Folkin.com Folkin Awards winners. Not only the best band.
Yes, right, yeah.
The best live act.
So, briefly, thank you, Folkin.com.
Oh, it's fantastic. We did it on a public vote, so there's no fiddling. This is all our people who log on to us, thousands and thousands, who log on and follow us and everything, have voted you guys as the new band of the moment.
So
thanks everybody, love you.
That's brilliant. So 10 years, well, 2010 you started, right? Yeah. And you've done, I was amazed, you've done so many albums in what, 10, in how many years it is. Do you make an album every week or is that just...
we try and do an album every week. I mean, they don't always work and most of them end up on the cutting room floor. However, no, I mean, we've just, at the end of the day, we've argued about this actually. We've said, like, you know, maybe we've put too much stuff out, but the thing is there's so many writers in the band and we've got so much material, you know, that we've just been able, we've been really lucky and able to make 4 albums.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great when you've got loads of songwriters. Do you write songs yourself?
Yes, I do.
So you're doing songs as well. And anybody else writing songs in the band?
Bob here.
Bob, and mandolin, and
John, and Neil, and Lee.
And also Lee.
So
we've got, I think that makes 5.
Yeah.
At least 5 songs.
Yeah.
So one song each.
Same key, right, you know.
One song each. So are you really busy touring and you're gigging, or how's it going with the gigs? Because you've obviously got a new album out, I believe. Haven't you, coming out soon? Another one.
We've got an acoustic version album coming out, which has kind of acoustic versions of the songs that we've already put out on previous albums in a slightly different style. There's 2 types of the band, so there's a full band, and then we go out on the road as an acoustic band without drums and keyboards as well. So we've kind of tried to capture how those acoustic performances go as well.
Yeah, nice.
We're just saying that Di Jeffries, who's editor of Folkin.com, he actually travelled all the way up and wrote a fantastic review of that gig, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
And that was in Wigan, wasn't it?
That was your hometown one.
So check out that view. Big plug there to Di. Fantastic.
We plied him with Uncle Joe's mint balls, and he wrote lovely things about us after that.
What did Uncle Joe have to say about that?
The things people do for an Uncle Joe's mint ball, I tell you. So you're playing here at the Fringe, as it's called, and have you played here before, the Brasenose, or is it your first time?
It's our first time, and we're really excited to be here. Crop Ready is a festival that we absolutely love, and even to be on the fringe of it is very exciting for us.
And have we all got tickets? Are you all going into the festival later or not?
We've got another gig up north tomorrow, so sadly we've got to head back after this afternoon.
Oh, so you're just going to play here and then you're straight on the road again, you see.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about, isn't it? You poor old sods, I don't know, it's terrible. We're looking forward to seeing you later, and we've got the full band, so you're all going to get on that stage, because isn't that huge here, is it?
It may be a little compact and beefy.
We have played on smaller, though, Paul.
Yes,
smaller.
Indeed. Although today may be intimate, we have played on stages maybe a little larger than the postage.
Shoulder to shoulder, that's going to be fantastic, isn't it? All nice and good. So we've got a new album, acoustic album out, which you're looking forward to. Any gigs coming up over here? I know you're up north again. Is there anything else coming in? Have you got a road?
Up north again, because I love that.
Up north. up north.
It's got an F on it when you say it.
I know, it's because I'm kind of down south. I'm a Kent man, aren't I? So I'm sort of a bit like that. So.
What have we got? We've got Thornton Hough.
We've got Thornton Hough on the Wirral. That's tomorrow.
That's it.
And then we've got a couple of weeks off, and then I think we're going into the world of folk festivals, the Silver Street Sessions, Lyme Folk Weekend, which is
Lyme Regis,
yeah, it's a lovely area. Settle, again up north near Lancaster, that's the folk gathering, and so and on and the, so forth. Yeah, they're all on the website.
The Bognor one's a great festival, that's the South Downs Folk Festival.
Yeah, yeah, looking right, forward yeah, to that, yeah. Never been before.
It's brilliant, you'll love it. It's yeah. Right by the sea, yeah. It's a really, really great one. I can't make it this year, but I've been to the previous three, I think, down there, so it's fab, you're absolutely lucky.
So the Kettles will be playing near Settle, yeah?
There it goes. Yeah. That's right, with Mike Hardin's, Mike Hardin's little festival.
Oh, it's Mike Hardin's, yeah, that would be fantastic. That. We're looking forward to it all. We're going to really have a dance. Are you going to get people dancing today?
Definitely, and we want to see both of you dancing. Well, in fact, we're pirouetting.
Because folking is nothing except a bit diverse.
We have to head off to do some more interviews, don't we?
Yeah, we're absolutely chock-a-block.
We're going to catch as much as
we can.
We're
going
to catch as much as it if we can. We're really looking forward to it. I was going to ask a question around the songwriting. Obviously, with so many songwriters in the band, is there sort of like a jostling of positions where it comes to actually, you know, where the
everyone's material, pointing over there.
The material makes the album. How do you do that? How do you cut it? I mean, what goes on and what doesn't?
Everybody's pointed at the benign dictator. It's really difficult because I've been producing the material in the studio.
Yeah.
So you would necessarily have a large amount of material submitted, and because I've got to set the plate spinning, I would. Pretty much, I can really be honest about this. I would work on material that I thought that inspired me in the straight away sort of thing,
right.
You know, like as an artist and a producer, to sort of to make it, and then as an album sort of progresses, you would build on your choices, kick stuff out, build more in. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy to get it right all the time either. You know, because my day job, I'm a music producer anyway, so if a client comes to me and says, will you make this song, I would just do it and do my absolute best for it and turn out a finished result. When I work for Mary Hell, I'm working as an artist as well, so I've got all these sort of weird undercurrents of I get bored with stuff, get fed up with it, feel amazing about stuff, and then all those other negative things. So I'm a very complex person.
Yeah.
Really though, it's difficult to choose, but it's difficult to be objective if you're the artist and the producer. That's why bands don't often make that combination. But I'm just so much cheaper than anyone else. No other choice.
Well, I can relate to that because I've got a little studio myself outside my house, and when I go in and do my stuff, I get confused as to what to do, and then I think, oh, I'll go on to something else. And in the end, what happens is you don't do anything because you like leave that song half done and that song half done. So you have to be quite strict and quite, you know, if someone comes in, like someone in Mandan Empire, goes, I've got this great song, I want to do it now. Do you just sort of turn the other way or roll your eyes, or do you say, I'll let you do it?
I do all those things.
Yeah.
So this is my Luke.
It's very fierce.
We're on radio.
Oh, it's radio, isn't it? Sorry, yeah. So no, you know, I mean, I'm just really massively flawed as a
person,
a human being generally.
This is a therapy session.
I'm taking my glasses off now.
But he's really glad he asked that question.
Do you know what?
it's not easy. But what you're trying to do is just serve the songs. You're not trying to serve the people. You're trying to the writers. You're trying to serve the songs. But you hope the writers like the versions. You know.
But then on the flip side of that, you're probably going to have so much material in the can. You know, for a later date, there's going to be what, 4 or 5 years worth of stuff that never made
tons.
Cut.
I mean, we could make another record like tomorrow.
Right. Wow.
It sounds like the world moves, but we love each other's songwriting. Yeah. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
Bob comes up with a new song. It's to die for. So we all.
I mean, there is the added sort of layer that we're family as well.
Yes.
So you've got
you've got two things there. You've got one where your brothers and your sister-in-law will say very honestly to each other. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then there's the downside of we will say very honestly to each other.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like it's yeah. it, yeah. that's an added layer of confusion yeah. and an added layer of help.
Yeah.
What you have to do as well, sometimes you have to, as the producer, kind of inspire the band to like something and visualise it from its very raw step. Because what we don't do is we don't go in the rehearsal room and work a song up from before. They always exist before because all the writers write independently of the band in that classic way. They might write on, you know, guitar and voice or just voice. I mean, Virginia has it, writes in her head sort of thing. Mm. So when the first heard, it's completely just a raw thing, and then you've got to put some big shoes on it and put it in, decide what car it's going to drive.
Yeah. Well, so I think the balance has worked really well in all the albums because the track and the listings are always very strong. So there is a sense of, I guess, an expectation now that every time you do a new one, you're going to have to deliver what went before. So
totally.
it must be quite.
And you've got to be thinking, you've got to be thinking, it's going to be better. Yeah. But of course, the new song you write is always the best one.
Yeah.
So you've always got that energy to bring forward to a new record. All artists are like that.
Yeah.
The new stuff is the best. Yeah. And if you didn't have that energy, you wouldn't do it anyway.
No, that's right.
I think that there's a... In the four albums that we've done in the 8 years that we've been together, you know, we've always... We do try and be massively humble in our sort of approach to everything. So we've sort of grown as a band together, you know. So I think in our view, each album's been better than the last. Each, you know what I mean? You know, what I'm saying?
Maturing.
Sort of maturing and
found our way, haven't we?
We've all been musicians in other bands before.
Yes.
But it's with this band, it's like we all started again right from the beginning, and have sort of learned. And now it's only now. I mean, in our last sort of band, I was in it for about 7 years and it felt like a lifetime. I've been in this band 8 years and it feels like we're only just beginning.
Yeah,
because it was Two Swords before, wasn't it?
Is
it
Tansads?
Yeah.
I think technically you probably are only just beginning because you've only got like one or two of your songs actually put on the albums.
Yeah.
On the studio side of things, do you all go in and like have a? Is it a big studio you've got or is
no.
it no?
It's big actually.
It's big enough for all of you to get in.
It
or?
Would be if we needed to. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you find it better when you do all go in with your instruments and sort of play live through, and you just pick out, or do you do everything individually?
No, that would be an ideal.
Because it tends to give a better feel, doesn't it?
We have done for this latest album, Anthems of the Wind, which comes out in the autumn. We played a lot of that live in a village hall, actually. We took the gear to a village hall, which had lovely acoustics.
Yeah.
And we played live over about three or four days.
Yeah.
And then we went to the salt mill in Northwich as well, near us, in Cheshire. And we finished it off there as well. Again, great acoustics. And we filmed that bit as well, that component. So we have done some live, but it's hard, isn't it? It's hard on you.
You're right, but
because
the thing is with live takes, you have to sort of like either do lots of rehearsal ahead of it. So when you make your first record, maybe you've done like a lot of years of rehearsal prior to it. So it's easier to make a live record and it's cheaper as well. So, but if you go, we very often have not worked up the arrangements until we've got the studio time.
Yeah.
Now we could. So if we said okay, we're going to spend one day on a particular song and we're going to attempt to play it live, that would actually be fun. But I'm not sure it would be as objective as if we did the classic sort of layering process.
Yeah.
We start with a guide track, but our guide tracks, can we be honest about it? It could be me and the drummer with me shouting like really
speed
abuse
obscenity into his
effing and blinding
it's a chorus gels. It's a verse, you know, but then you organically would build the arrangement and you learn the arrangement by bringing the other people in and saying, well, okay, so we need a riff here, so Neil, can you provide a riff? And so he'll just play with the track as it is, and then it's just
you build it.
It's building, you know.
Yeah.
It just it fits better with the way our lives work as well, working with that sort of process.
Yeah.
What would you say is? Do you feel is your most sort of like I'm not so famous song, but the song that's actually meant the most to you, that you've actually put down as a track.
He's a difficult man.
Yeah, exactly. You see, I'll do the easy questions.
It seems to be one that's a big life through everything, isn't it?
With the crowd, yeah.
You get
the one that you always cheer at when there's
And in terms of audience participation, you seem to. Straight away, as you mentioned, Bury Me Naked, you think there's a big...
There's a massive connection to that.
And it's when it's in a say of a concert was a little bit... Not that it doesn't happen to us, we're lucky now, we don't get cold gigs really, you know, they're all... Everything's really, generally speaking, quite positive from the get-go, but when we were just trying to sort of like, just experimenting with the band, that would be the song where you'd feel the set, we'd just engage with it and grow.
Yeah.
And so you could say there's something in its message, and in sing-along nature, that just resonates. It's humorous and it's poignant as well.
Yeah.
And catchy. Mm. So maybe that seems to be a key point. It's just dead hard to say because they got. I think they all when you write songs, they all do different jobs.
Yeah.
And they all. If you're trying to take a human being, a listener, through the sort like if you're making an album, it's like an emotional journey, isn't it? And many, hopefully, many different sorts of ideas. But I think a concert should be that as well. So it should be get your blood up, so to speak. It should make you cry a little bit, and it should make you feel a little bit sexy, which a lot loaded with sexual content. Sorry,
my son here is telling us that our most played song on Spotify is "Loving the Skin You're In."
Who wrote that one?
13,000.
That's a genius song.
And your song?
That might have been me. We're not biased. I've not.
Well, you paid him for that. I see you slipped a tenner.
I did.
It's like the Tooth Fairy being music, isn't it? He's just put a tenner in his pocket. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been a real pleasure. We're so looking forward to seeing you. And what I do like is we've had a good chat about songwriting and stuff like that, which is what our listeners quite like as well. So it's been a pleasure. Do enjoy your gig, which we know you will, and we will as well.
Thanks for all your support.
Oh, you're welcome. You're most welcome. You really are. Thanks to everybody. We'll talk to you later. Thanks very much, everybody. So bye. Bye. Bye.